On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Hold everything. It's 12 days of our favorite shows and 12 days until your excuses for 2018 run out. Say hello to January 2nd, 2019, and time to make some magic, people. We've got a lot of great shows, guests, and special weekly segments coming your way. So for now, enjoy the year in review and get ready for amazing things in 2019. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You're listening to the new Arizona Real Estate Matters Show with your hosts, Phil Putnam and Josh Peacock. And now, here's Phil and Josh.
Good afternoon and welcome to Arizona Real Estate Matters, brought to you by Empire West Title. I am your host, Phil Putnam, and sitting across from me, as always, is my co-host, Josh Peacock. Josh, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome, Phil. And do you think it's a problem that I'm already getting too hot? It's not even summertime yet.
It's going to be a wonderful 89 degrees from what awesome. I'm being told today. We tape on Thursdays, as everybody knows. But over the weekend, it's supposed to drop back into the 70s. So when the show airs, maybe we'll be back down to the wonderful 70s.
Oh God, I hope so.
And we can enjoy that for a little bit while, you know, longer before we have to turn on our AC units.
Well, I tell you, this is the best time. If you have family back east, they just got a blizzard, so if you got family back east, give them a call and just let them know you're hanging out by the pool.
Just tell them to watch a spring training game.
Exactly.
That's all they got to do. And we talk about that all the time.
How spring training is
probably the biggest help to the real estate market in
Absolutely.
The state of Arizona. You got 30 days of people back east watching people sit in the grass and watch
in
spring training. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. You know, normally on our show, Josh, you and I go back and forth for the first segment, but we've got a big show today, and we have two guests, so we're going to get into the first guest. And I'll mention the guest names. Michelle Swinnick is our first guest today, and we're going to be talking to her for a little while first. But then a little bit later in the show, and who's going to get the majority of the show is Bob Massey. Bob Massey is with, he's called the Property Man. He is on the Fox News Channel, and he has a wealth of knowledge. So we'll be bringing Bob in later in the show. But, without further ado, to kick off our big show today, let's introduce Michelle. Michelle Swinnick is a been in the real estate mortgage industry for 20 plus years. She's a loan officer, and she's got some, she started some great programs to help out, you know, individuals in our real estate industry, especially veterans. So Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And tell your listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been in this industry, like you said, over 20-some years, and that just makes me feel real old saying that, because in my head, I'm still in my 30s, and I'm not there anymore. So thank you for ruining my day with that.
It tells you how, you know, you're a wealth of knowledge. You have all those years behind you.
Yes, I appreciate that. When they say you've got so much wisdom, that means you've got a lot of gray hair, too. But I've been here for about the same amount of time, 21 years, and I had a real estate company. I had a mortgage brokerage, and after the crash, you know, things kind of just went sideways. And prior to that, I started this organization called Helping the People, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization in 2001. And we were helping people with foreclosure situations. And then, like I said, the market went sideways. Since then, I've been really trying to figure out how to help people, how to make a difference. Instead of just doing traditional loans and selling traditional real estate, I needed to do something more. It was not about the money anymore. It needed to have some sort of purpose. So recently, I revamped and repositioned the nonprofit. We got a real estate license, so now we're a licensed real estate company, which allows us now to implement this program called the Homes for Veterans program. So basically what we do is we match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is then donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which allows us to financially assist veterans who either want to buy homes or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries.
Wow, 25%. That's a nice little chunk.
Well, technically in the industry, that's the standard for a referral fee. So I figured using that concept, that model, so that way instead of having it go to a corporation and mm-hmm. dividends and all that, this way if it went to the nonprofit, it would be able to help more veterans.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that keeps the integrity of the organization, because it's about affordable and accessible sure. homes, but the focus is on veterans because, A, they have so many problems in their community right now. And considering all that they've done for us, put their life on the line, some of them didn't make it home.
Yep.
And a lot of them, because of the recent war starting in, say, 2001, mm-hmm. they have so many mental issues, physical issues. They came back with injuries where there's limbs missing. Mm-hmm. And that's the least I felt that we could do as a country, a society, as people, is to give back to them in a way that makes a difference in their lives because they sacrificed so much for us. I mean, the reason why we're sitting here today that we're doing this radio station is because somebody at some point was over in some crazy country in a ditch doing whatever, and that poor guy or girl came back and maybe there's a limb missing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, using all of that and seeing what's going on and seeing how much or how not much help they have available to them in that community, that this is something where it all fell into place. And I just thought it was appropriate time to focus on the veterans and be able to give them an opportunity to have more independent lives and let them know that we do care about them. We thank them for their service. And this is a way to actually show it, as opposed to just saying thank you for your service or we appreciate that. A lot of people say that, yeah, but then or they have a hashtag, support our troops. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm putting a hashtag out.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what? You know,
that's
so this
awesome.
way, the concept allows you to financially give back to veterans without having to make a donation. Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy something you don't need. You don't have to get a service that you don't want, and you don't have to spend money you don't have.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
So you're not out of anything, and you're actually changing a veteran's life by just, and this is the simple concept of all this, we're just asking you to be conscious of your choices and buying decisions, because you can literally change a veteran's life.
That's awesome.
Well, how does a real estate agent, you know, I mean, obviously you're going to hook up buyers and sellers with preferred agents.
Correct.
So how does
an
agent, you know, if agents listen to the show, or if you happen to be talking to an agent, how does an agent get involved in this? Because I know there's a ton of agents out there that would love to be able to give back, especially to the veterans.
Well, for right now, what I've done is, since I've been in the industry for a long time, I've identified certain real estate agents here in Arizona, Nevada, and in California that I've worked with or I've had a personal relationship over the years. And we've had extensive conversations. We talked about the program, and they have agreed to participate. They've actually overwhelmingly have really wanted to participate. And those are the ones I've actually chosen as our preferred realtors because of my personal experience with them, whether it was on the litigation side or the buying side, the loan officer side, the selling side, or with somebody that represented me in a transaction. I mean, basically the threshold that I have for these realtors is I have to feel that this is someone I would have my mom let my mom
absolutely,
be able to represent
absolutely.
Them. And the agents that I'm working with are, they're at that level. And they're just really great people. They're exceptionally qualified. They're very professional. All of them are they're active right now, meaning that they're very, very busy. But as far as opening it up to other agents, I'm interested in doing that. I mean, I would love to be able to meet other like-minded agents that are out there that want to give back, that want to participate. So, you know, they're more than welcome to reach out to me through the ARM information's obviously on the website, and we're going to give that in a little bit. But I would love to be able to meet more people, because the more people that know about the program, the more that the exposure's out there, the more the marketing. At the end of the day, it's more veterans that are going to get helped.
More people, yeah.
I
mean, if you open the program to more people, that just means more veterans being helped by this program. I mean, I can't think of a better, you know, as far as in the real estate industry, as far as buyers and sellers, I can't think of a different group of people that need our help, that deserve our help more than veterans.
Oh, and it's pretty overwhelming. And the reason why I say that is, I also started a podcast. We went onto the air about a month ago, and I'm allowing the real estate agents that are preferred realtors to all be interviewed on the show. So that means that they're showcased. So people that want to get to know them, as opposed to just a name or a tagline or a picture or statistics. This way, they can actually they could listen to the message. They could listen to because you can hear the passion in these
definitely.
People's voices when we talk about this. Plus, the amount of content and the information that I've learned by just doing these interviews with them is pretty exceptional. That I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I now know about Sedona and Flagstaff and Arizona and down in Tucson and Sierra, and especially here in town, because I'm getting expert feedback from all of these agents.
That's awesome.
And I'm passing that along to the listeners, potential clients and home buyers and sellers, so they get to understand who they're working with, and then they can make a decision on, you know, if it's a match. Because we want to make sure that because at the end of the day, you can have somebody who sells so many homes, but if the personalities
got to match, yeah,
it's not going to be a wonderful transaction, because there's so many moving parts in these transactions anyway.
Well, you know, and we've become a digital society. Unfortunately, we've become a digital society to the point where, you know, everybody is either on a website or on Facebook or Instagram or on a text message or something like that. And we've lost that. You know, when you talk to somebody, when you get a text message or you look at a website, you can't see emotion, you can't see passion. So by being able to hear some of these agents on your podcast, we have the same thing here on our show. By being able to hear the agents and the conviction and the passion, it goes much further.
Well, and it also allows them, it gives them a platform to deliver their message, so you can understand where they specialize in, because each person has their own little niche, their area.
Their own philosophies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and it's, even though all of these agents, they're like-minded, their personalities and the way that they go about even just explaining something is different. Mm-hmm. And when you're making that decision on who you want to work with, It could make or break your decision or influence you in certain ways. So it's just a nice little extra layer to have. It becomes a human transaction.
Absolutely.
I mean, my goal was to humanize real estate again, as opposed to, like you said, technology and emailing and texting and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it makes you get to know them as a person. Since this is such a personal transaction, that you're going to be basically living with this person in a sense for the next 30 to 60 days. Depending
Absolutely.
On how long it takes,
or longer, depending.
Oh, yeah, you know, depending on what kind of a transaction it is, especially now with the way the market is, and you want to make sure that this is somebody, and you're going to be talking to them a lot. So this is somebody that you want to end up having as a part of your life.
Because Absolutely.
Even in my past transactions over the 20 years of being on the real estate and mortgage side, a lot of the people that I had as clients, I'm still in touch with, or I'm become friends with, and a lot of the agents that are part of our program, they have those similar tendencies. So it's, like I said, it's just important to, you know, make sure that you're working with somebody you click with.
I've been doing this 35 years, and in 35 years ago, we didn't have all the technology that we have now. It was a people business. And what I'm sad to see is going on, and I think we need to get back to that, because I think people realize that it is so important, is that we've become too digital and we've lost that personal touch. And I think people need to get back to that, because you're making the biggest purchase of your life in most cases. And do you want to do that really over a website or an app?
Mm-mm,
you know,
no.
You got to trust these people, and you can't trust them if all they are words on a page.
Yeah, it needs to be three-dimensional in some capacity.
Exactly. So I love it, you know, and I've talked to many, many agents and many, many loan officers that, you know, they sit down with their people. They actually meet with them, sit down with them, look them eye to eye. You know, some of these big national loan chains that are doing loans, you talk to six, seven, eight different people.
You do it on your phone
or, you know, hit an app.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, well, my transaction was done, but, you know, I just purchased $500,000 home and I didn't speak to a single human being. There's something lost there.
Exactly.
You know, that's for sure. We're talking to Michelle Swinnick. Great. You know, she's got a podcast. She's got a great program for veterans. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk briefly again, because you also team up with some websites to help give back to the veterans as well. And in our next segment as well, we'll get into talking to Bob Massey, the property man for Fox News Channel. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Arizona Real Estate Matters, brought to you by Empire West Title. We're talking to Michelle Swinnick. She is a loan officer and entrepreneur, that's for sure, host of her own podcast. Michelle, we were talking before about the Homes for Veterans program, where you partner with agents who help buyers and sellers give back 25% of the agent's commissions back to helping veterans. But you also partner with some well-known websites to help give back to the veterans as well.
Yeah, I wanted to go into that. So when I came up with this concept of helping the home buyers and the home sellers to benefit the veterans, I said, well, what happens to all the people who don't want to buy a house, that don't need to sell their house, or maybe they're renters? I said, well, then I want them to be able to participate too. So what happened was, he partnered with a bunch of well-known websites and brands such as Amazon, House, Travelocity, StubHub, Hotwire, MLB, which is Major League Baseball, NBA store, companies like that. And a portion of your total purchase, anywhere from 2 to 30%, is donated to the program. And all you have to do is click on our links and banners that are located on our websites whenever you want to buy. So that way, we've opened up the ability to financially help veterans, and anyone can participate
Just buying homes.
No,
yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
So by taking those two avenues, we've become your resource for everything home. And that's the whole concept is we want to be your resource. And the other thing is the tagline that we're using is we've got your six for everything home. And for those of the people that are in the military know that when you say we've got your six means I got your back.
Exactly.
So it's we've got your back for everything home. So if you go to our website, which is helpingthepeople.org, or you can even go to the podcast website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. On there, it'll give you information. There's tabs for products, and it lists all the different companies and the different websites, the different links. You just click, and it gets you right into their site, and then everything's automatic. Obviously, we don't have to deal with any inventory, but that, like I said, anywhere from 2 to 30% of your purchase is then given back to veterans, depending on what you're buying and what website it is.
Well, this is just phenomenal. I mean, it really is because, you know, like I said, these veterans, they've well deserved our help, you know. And so, you know, if you are interested in this program, you can go on Michelle's website, which is helpingthepeople.org.
Correct.
Or you can give Michelle a call, I'm assuming, correct?
Right. And the phone number is 833-MY-HOME-6. So back to that, we've got your six for everything home. Yeah, we got your six. So it's 833-694-6636, which is 833-MY-HOME-6. And that's on the website. You can even click on there to make an appointment online so you don't have to talk if you don't want to. And there's email on there, all the contact information. And again, the information is also listed too on the podcast website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. And that lists all of the guests that we've already had. You could just click on there. It's on-demand podcast, so you can click on the big banners for the different real estate agents, so you can basically start your interview process right from there. And then the nice thing about the podcast is because it's based on Everything Home, it allows us to talk to all different kinds of guests. Like Bob Massey, we're going to be doing his show next week. And we talk about anything from home improvement, to family, to self-help, to real estate, to inspiration, entertainment, because we believe that the home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure to the contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. So if we can make that foundation solid, there's a lot of things that will transpire in your life that flow out to make everything much more smoother and a much more wonderful, enjoyable experience while we have the opportunity here. So.
Well, Michelle, great service, that's for sure. If any of you are interested, again, go to helpingthepeople.org or everythinghomepodcast.com to listen to her podcast. Get involved. You don't even have to buy or sell a home. You can just purchase something through one of their partnered websites, Amazon, Travelocity, and you can give back 2% to 30% back to veterans. So, Michelle, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, both.
Now, our next guest, and thanks to Michelle Swinnick, is Bob Massey. Bob Massey's the property man. He's on Fox Business, Fox News Channel. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, I normally ask the listeners to tell a little bit about themselves, but, you know, your reputation precedes you, so we appreciate you being on the show. I know you're an attorney up in Vegas, correct?
That's true. Yes,
and,
sir.
And, you know, Vegas experienced as much or more of the downturn of the real estate industry, just like Phoenix did. How did Las Vegas, one, survive, and two, how have they rebounded?
I'm not sure they did survive. I think that they went through a very bad period, obviously, of foreclosures and short sales and bankruptcies and people basically rebuilding their life. It's rebounding now, but I have my concerns about Las Vegas, Phoenix, Scottsdale, Southwest, Florida, places where I've gone and covered on my show. I think that the American dream is alive and well, and I think people have the tendency to want the American dream so bad that they again will make the same mistake. And I do think that although the lenders are being more careful, as they should be, There's loans out there that remind me of back in 04, 05, and 06. And if the American person, if a citizen of this country or anybody wants to buy a home and it fits in their monthly budget, they will buy. And so there are some concerns, but Vegas, like Phoenix and other areas, are going vertical and they're building, and inventory is low in certain values. So if inventory is low, the demand's there, and the prices are higher than they should be.
Now, well, Bob, one of the things that we're seeing here is that, yes, inventory is low, and I'm sure it's low, and it's across the United States. But one of the things I'm seeing is, you know, everybody's talking about, well, it's a seller's market. It's a seller's market.
And we're seeing a seller's market.
And we're seeing sellers, you know, put their houses on the market at a certain price point. But one of the things that we're seeing a lot of are appraisals are not coming in at those price points.
People don't care. It's not. I'll give you an example. Last Friday, I had a client. We had a house that was appraised at 261, had a buyer for 261 cash, and it sold for 485.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now, the question is, why did it happen on that piece of property? Well, because it was an acre of property, and it was a tear-down house.
Okay.
So the investor comes in and says, look, I know this is a tear-down. An acre of property is a lot of money in a decent part of town, not the best part of town, but decent. So it sold for almost $200,000 more. The hedge funds came in. The investors are in action. Investors are buying. They're renting to people who don't have credit yet, who are still struggling. So there, it's a very complicated picture. And I'm an optimist, but I'm also, I represented and literally spoke all over the country and still do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be down in Scottsdale a week from today. I'm speaking at one of the conference down there. I was invited to speak. And, you know, people basically just, they have the tendency to make the same mistake. So what's happened is, and I know we have to go to break real quick here, but what's happened is young couples who want to buy a house and it could qualify for a house for $261,000, doesn't matter. They're not going to get it. So they go back to rent because there's no inventory.
Well, and that, and I want to talk to you. Yes, and we are going to come up against the break. But I want to, when we come out of the break, I want to ask you about, you know, some of these hedge funds that have purchased thousands and thousands of homes across the, you know, the United States, and maybe even thousands here in the Phoenix area, maybe the Vegas area. You know, they're holding on to these homes, and that's actually, you know, maybe good for them, but maybe not good for the, you know, the market as far as our inventory is concerned. So we're going to take a break. We're talking to Bob Massey, the property man from Fox News Channel. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Arizona Real Estate Matters, brought to you by Empire West Title. We're talking to Bob Massey. He is the property man from the Fox News Channel. And Bob, you know, before we went to break, you mentioned, you know, some of these large investment firms, hedge funds that have purchased, Blackstone was one of them, that's purchased thousands and thousands of homes across the United States. And even in the state of Arizona here, they may own thousands of homes just here in Arizona.
Sure.
And they're holding on to these things and renting them. And we know rents have gone up. I mean, obviously, you know, owning a home and renting it out right now is very profitable. But at the same time, they purchased a lot of these homes when the values were way, way down. You know, when are, you know, maybe in your opinion, but when were they going to start releasing some of these properties? Because that would definitely help our inventory situation.
When it's to their benefit, that's the only time they're going to release it. These are huge companies, billion-dollar companies, who have a portfolio to manage, and they made a sound decision for them that they're going to go in and get acquisitions as many homes within certain price range as they can and get the greatest amount of return through rents, and only after it gets to their benefit and their portfolio is satisfied or they could sell their portfolio will they release that inventory. And until such time, it's not going to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that they rent all the homes. They sell some of the homes. But they have their own timeline. And it happened in Vegas. It happened in Florida. It happened in a... See, here's one thing. Look, this crisis that we experienced, it did not happen all over the country. I mean, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to people in Pittsburgh, they have no idea what I'm talking about.
I agree with that. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people in the Midwest that said, wow, that really happened out there? I'm like, yeah, it did.
Yeah, and don't forget, though, the difference is, you know, you could go to Pittsburgh or the Midwest and buy a home, you know, that you could never imagine living for $150,000. How did that happen? Okay. Let's take California out of the marketplace because they're so prohibitive that, you know, I wish they would secede because it would make life easier for everybody else, you know. But the bottom line is, you know, why is everybody moving from California to Las Vegas right now? I mean, why are people moving to Texas and New Mexico because of everything? I know we're going to talk about the tax plan. But here's my point. There are many problems in the real estate industry right now. There are many problems with realtors right now that are of concern to me. But the people that I'm concerned about the most, of course, and realtors, everybody else are homeowners, are the homeowners. You know, how do you get back into the marketplace? And how do you get back so that it's affordable in the marketplace? And when you look at different parts of the country, you look at, for example, just Southern California alone. How does a young couple buy down there? They don't. They either have their parents co-sign or guarantee the loan, or their parents buy the home. They can't afford it. They can't afford the taxes. They can't afford the payments. They can't afford anything. That's why you have people, for example, that work in Los Angeles that are driving every day to Los Angeles from Victorville to work.
We've got people in the Phoenix area that commute to L.A. You know, they live in Arizona. They can buy, you know, much more home for the money, and they just
absolutely,
yeah.
And I mean, look, Phoenix is booming, Scottsdale's booming, Vegas is booming. There's no question about it. But when you don't have a lot of inventory, what are you going to do? And then you have these investors coming in that are just buying this up. What really bothers me, it's not allowing people, particularly I'm concerned about young couples who have a family, to get a starting home, mm-hmm. to get in there. Let me tell you something. If you have a single-story home in Las Vegas that's 1,500 square feet to 1,800 square feet, and you go buy, that is at such a premium. You could rent that home out for $2,500 a month because it's a premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and we see the same thing here. Yes, exactly.
Of course. Phoenix and Vegas was ground zero. Phoenix came behind us, Florida and everybody else. So if you're in this game, and this is my biggest concern with realtors, and I give seminars to realtors everywhere, they don't get it, okay? The good ones get it. The other ones don't get it. And the problem I have with that, and I support realtors, I give seminars to them, I represent them, I preach them, I try to baptize them once in a while, even if I can. You know what I'm saying? It's like, listen, guys, you got to listen to what I'm telling you. This is a different time to sell real estate. And you've got to really be on your game as a fiduciary and understand what it is you're selling and what it is you're buying. And some of them get it. Michelle deals with them. Some of them don't. And I hate to say, and no disrespect to the industry because I've always been supportive of them, more don't get it than get it.
And you're preaching the choir, that's for sure, because we talk about that all the time and all the new responsibilities that agents have now to their buyers and sellers. This isn't our parents' real estate market. It's completely evolved into something different. So I'm 100% behind you when you talk about that. We're talking to Bob Massey, the property man from the Fox News Channel. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Arizona Real Estate Matters, brought to you by Empire West Title. We're talking to Bob Massey. He is the property man from Fox News Channel. And Bob, you know, one of the things that I noticed on your some of your YouTube videos that I've seen is that you know, you talk a lot about HOAs, and you're very passionate about that. And you talked about, you know, some of these investors are in how they're interrelated with the HOA issue. So, you know, talk about that if you would.
Well, one of the things that most homeowners don't understand is that HOAs, homeowners associations, have the same power as a lender does for as it comes to foreclosing on property in most states. So if you are behind on your HOA dues, and a lot of times what happens is people who thought they were going to be foreclosed on or vacated their home because they were told never paid their HOA dues, about 3-4 years ago, particularly in Las Vegas, and I know it happened in Phoenix, the homeowners associations, through their management companies or lawyers, will put a lien on the house. It's L-I-E-N, and basically under the statutory law, they have the right to foreclose. So let me give you an example. About maybe a year ago, I know a guy that bought a $1.2 million home for $7,200.
Oh,
what happened was is that nobody believed that this was going to happen, and so these people started investing. Investors started buying these homes at HOA lien sales, and all the HOA really cares is give me my money. And after that, they get what they need for purposes of ownership. And then there's a bunch of legal issues that comes in as to what happens to the mortgage on a home and things like that, but we won't go into that. What I want your listeners to understand is that if you are part of an HOA, you know, they have the power, if you don't do what they tell you to do and you don't pay the assessments or whatever and don't retaliate by non-payment, pay and then go get a lawyer to say, this is why we believe we should not have paid, because they have very strong legal rights to exercise as if they were a lender to take your home. And it happens more often than you can imagine. There's cases at the Supreme Court in Nevada, Arizona, different parts of the country on these issues.
Well, I know one of the things in Arizona is that HOAs and the legal teams that represent some of these HOAs in recent years have gotten much more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
They've used to be a lot more passive in the past, but they've gotten more aggressive recently.
Well, here's why they got aggressive. Because they finally realized they were like a lender. Okay? But here's the biggest mistake they made. Let's say Michelle owed $500 on her HOA dues or an assessment. She's, you know what, I'm sick of these people. They don't do this, they don't do that, and then she starts. Once that gets turned over to a collection agency or a law firm, that $500 goes to $5,000. Okay? So when you have a beef with your HOA, go to the management company, sit down with them, and try to work out why it is you were assessed something. If you have a question about the accounting, all I'm saying is don't retaliate by non-payment. Either go to a lawyer preemptively and say, listen, I think that I don't owe this kind of money, and they say, and I do owe this kind of money. Could you represent me and send a letter to try to get clarification for me? The problem is some people just retaliated by non-payment. And the reason why it's become more aggressive is because the HOAs are making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
These businesses are coming in and they're buying these properties at these sales. So they're saying, are you kidding me, man? I'm getting X amount of dollars, and somebody else owns the house. And by the way, when they buy the house, the investor has to keep paying the HOA dues if they're going to be the owners. And as a result, it's a win-win for the HOAs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when I was doing a lot of short sale escrows a few years back, some of the statements that we'd receive from some of these HOAs, the excessive fines and penalties. And there was one where, you know, somebody was fined $75 for every day their trash can was left on the sidewalk. Well, the problem was the house was vacated because the people up and left the home. They left the trash can on the sidewalk. There was nobody to put it back. And the HOA kept assessing $75 a day for about 2 years.
But the point of that story is that when you are entitled to a home, even if you abandon that home, you are entitled to that home. And you're responsible for everything that happens on that property, from somebody that is a squatter that comes in and gets injured and sues because if you didn't pay the homeowner's insurance, the lender did. From the fact that you leave your garbage can out, whatever the heck it is, you are responsible because you're entitled. And what happened is many people abandoned their homes because they got what's called a notice of breach, meaning that they figured it was going to be foreclosed on. Well, do you know how many foreclosure auctions I've gone to where they were continued or they were canceled? Probably 60-70%.
Absolutely.
Particularly 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
And on short sales, the biggest problem that happened is I used to preach to the people that were doing short sales and the realtors, make sure they get keep their HOA dues current.
Number one most important thing. Yes, absolutely.
Because the biggest stumbling block with the lender and the seller and the buyer was the HOA would not negotiate because they knew they could lien the house and foreclose themselves.
I handled in excess of 1,500 short sale escrows in the time period that those were really hot. And there wasn't a single short sale, not a single short sale where the lender paid the HOA.
Never. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The lender bases back and says, hey, this is the way it is. Now, one of the big issues that came up in Nevada and they followed is the fact that now the lenders, because of a Supreme Court decision, they got to be careful with their position because they could lose their first position on a house, but that's another issue for another time.
Sure.
But the point for your listeners is this. Number one, when you buy a home or before you buy a home, go to the management company, talk to your real estate agent, say, look, I want to know, number one, is there any construction defects in this development? Number two, are they solvent? Number three, are there any assessments planned? Number four, tell me about the board. Go to your neighbors. Find out what's going on in this community. People get so excited to buy a home, which we understand. These are the details that takes away the enjoyment of your home after the fact that you have a certain amount of control of before the fact. And about 50 other things I could tell you. Those are basic things I want people to listen to. And please try to follow and be diligent and be your best friend and get the CC&Rs, the covenants, conditions, and restrictions, which is like reading a sequel to Beowulf. Okay? And including me, I don't understand all this stuff. But, man, the realtors have to give it to you before you close escrow. These are things you got to try to find out so that when you buy, look, other than a marriage, if it works, the longest contract that you ever sign is when you buy a home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, great advice, especially regarding the HOAs. That's for sure. You know, Bob, something that's becoming more and more popular and a lot safer now than it was years ago with all the baby boomers that, you know, that are becoming of age is reverse mortgages. And, you know, I think we're going to see many more of them in the future than we've ever seen before, just due to the fact that we have that large population that's going to be turning 62 soon. So give us your opinion of reverse mortgages.
First of all, reverse mortgages have I gave a seminar in San Diego about 2 months ago. I said, first of all, the worst thing I sort of pulled out of the dictionary five or six different definitions of reverse, and I said, after you listen to those definitions, who the hell would want to buy or do a reverse mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
Because psychologically, it's always got a bad rap. People have a sense that if you do reverse mortgage, that you lose title to your home. You don't. The key to reverse mortgage is understanding the benefit and does it fit within your own psychological person as a person. Because reverse mortgage basically is saying, I own a home free and clear, or I have a lot of equity. I'd like to travel more. I need more. So I need to supplement my income. There's an opportunity to grab some money. Now, the question is going to be, do they understand how it works? Is it explained well? You've got to go to reputable people that sit down and explain it. Actually, under the new rules and guidelines of reverse mortgages, you literally have to go through a counseling class mm-hmm. that explains all this stuff to you also, because you and I both know, Michelle knows, a lot of people got ripped off.
Oh, absolutely.
Reverse mortgages.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. Hidden fees, back-end fees, origination fees, these fees, that fee. So what they've done, a couple of changes that were good, used to be 62 or older and you're on the loan and you have a spouse that's maybe 10 years younger and that 62 or older dies a few years down the road or 10 years, whatever, and that spouse is still under 62. In the old days, they couldn't stay there. They had to sell the house. That changed. That's very good. The other thing that they've done, which I think is okay, bothers me a little bit. So let's say you get a reverse mortgage. Because there's been a lot of senior exploitation, what they've done is they basically, okay, here's how much money you're going to get now, and then 12 months from now, you're going to get this money. So they hold some money back because some people blew all their money. Some people were exploited, so they did it to protect the consumer. Now, the good thing I could say is they give you a pretty good return interest rate. And so as a result of that, it's not a bad investment. So you've got to get really, really, really good people to explain it to you. right people, then I think ultimately it's a good idea. But get more than one opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Make
absolutely.
Sure it fits into who you are as a person.
Absolutely. And, you know, and years ago, they weren't government insured. So it was pretty much.
No, they're not. These are government insured now.
Yes, absolutely. They are. So they're much, much safer, you know.
And there are no recourse. So people understand, meaning that, you know, there's no personal liability on this. Basically, look, if you pass, three things the heirs could do. They could sell the home and the mortgage company gets paid. Number two, they can basically talk to the lender, say, take the house back. We don't want the house. And they take it with no recourse against the estate, so there's no personal liability to the estate. So, but I am of the belief that if you do reverse mortgage and you have a good relationship with your children, they should be part of the process so they understand what's going on, so that the parents are comfortable, the kids are comfortable with what you're doing.
I had a transaction recently where there was a reverse mortgage on the property. The woman passed away. There was seven kids that ended up with the property through, in Arizona, we have a beneficiary's deed. I don't know if you have one up in
Las Vegas.
Yeah, we
have the effective contract.
Okay. And so they received the property through the beneficiary's deed. And they said that it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. They contacted the lender, let them know that the mother had passed away. And the lender said, okay, what do you want to do? And they said, well, we plan on selling the property. And they worked with them, hand in hand with them, to make sure that they could sell that property. And there was, you know, even some equity left over for the kids to get. So it actually was a great experience for them.
If you have the right lender and the right person explaining it, it could be a very good experience. There is a psychological component to this that has to be dealt with. And that's what I spoke with about the realtors down in San Diego. But notwithstanding all of that, it serves a purpose to a certain percentage of contingency in our country of baby boomers. Yeah. Because don't forget, a lot of baby boomers, they lost it all.
Oh, absolutely.
They lost their 401ks. They lost everything.
Oh, yeah. Everything. So, yeah, there were tons of people that had a lot of money sitting in accounts that literally dwindled down to nothing.
Yes, sir.
And the only thing they have left now is their home.
That's right.
And that's a shame. Real quickly, we only have a couple minutes left. What do you see for the market this year and maybe beyond?
I just saw the stock market went down 500 points today, so that wasn't a good thing.
It's actually down 702 right now. I'm actually looking
at it. 702.
They're a little scared about the tariffs right now, I think.
Yeah, it is about the tariffs. It's about everybody hates everybody, too. Mm-hmm. But I would say that we have to be cautious. I have a lot of people call me from the show or whatever and say, is this a good time to buy? Well, that's a very, very tough question to answer because you have to know what situation you're in. I think if we keep the lending the way it's supposed to be, where they're not just handing it out like candy. We get some more inventory into the system. We get some of these hedge funds liquidating to release the market. And by the way, we still have what's called shadow inventory, that being homes that have not been that are there and there's been no payments made for 10 years and people are still living in the home.
Yeah.
It's what we call, I did a whole thing on the property man called zombie foreclosures, where people are living there and they've never left and there's never been a payment made 10 years. They got to go in and assess the situation, micromanage it, and then I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Bob, thank you so much. You've been a wealth of knowledge. That's Bob Massey. He's the property man on Fox Business and Fox News Channel. So, Bob, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, guys, for thinking of me. Thank you, Michelle, for thinking of me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
And
appreciate
our other guest today was Michelle Swinnick. Please listen to her podcast. We gave the websites before. And helpingthepeople.org. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you both so much for giving some exposure to our organization. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. And you're listening to Arizona Real Estate Matters, and we will talk to you guys next week.